Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'll be reading the Midland Reporter Telegram from Friday, January 26, 2024, Section A, State and Local News. Hotel Santa Rita Causes Controversy by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Controversy over the new Hotel Santa Rita being built downtown drives current conversations in Midland. The business, which had its first mention all the way back in 2015, is slated to bring a full new package to the tall city as a full-service hotel, featuring 135 rooms, four meeting rooms ranging from 500 to 5,000 square feet, a three-meal restaurant and bar, 4,000 square feet, lobby bar, market cafe, resort pool, room and concierge service, and more retail locations. Note, since 2015, the project plan has gone through many different changes, investors, and leadership. A group of local investors, Jack Harper, Dan Horde, and Michael McWilliams, making Hotel Santa Rita a reality, hope the hotel continues to encourage positive transformations and traffic downtown. Stating in an opinion piece from last week, downtown lacks a convention center hotel to serve its citizens and travelers for business, leisure, and events. Business travelers look elsewhere for quality hotel rooms outside downtown or out of Midland entirely. Large events at the Bush Convention Center are unattainable, amounting to millions of dollars in lost economic activity. Weddings, galas, and corporate board meetings bypass downtown. Signature events have abandoned Midland due to unsatisfactory accommodations. The DoubleTree by Hilton, which is bigger than Hotel Santa Rita, asked for $15 million from Midland Development Corporation in November for renovations, but was denied. Managing partner Shafiq Tijani told the Reporter Telegram that without the money, the business would have to downscale operations significantly. Renovations included an open concept lobby and a full Starbucks kiosk. Renovations to the rooftop bar and pool deck that would allow their use 365 days a year. Updates to the 261 guest rooms, converting shower tub units to shower-only units and installing the latest in wireless and hardwired technology to allow guests to live stream, and replacements or updates to elevators, the boiler system, and all mechanics. Funding for Hotel Santa Rita will be $45 million, coming from Midland Development Corporation, a group whose revenue comes from sales tax, along with tax incentives unknown to the community, according to City Councilman-at-Large Dan Corrales. In a January 22nd opinion piece, Corrales broke down the incentives, detailing which local taxpayers would be affected. Tijani previously told the Reporter Telegram that his issues with Hotel Santa Rita aren't in competition, but in necessity. If there was a need for another hotel in downtown Midland, why would I not put another hotel in downtown Midland? People don't come from Dallas, from Houston, from Austin, from San Antonio for vacation. They come for sporting events or business. I don't want you to have the perception if we build new hotels, the people will come. A large number of people will go to Dallas or Houston or Austin versus Midland. The percentage of people who will spend $400 to $500 a night in Midland is a lot less. When asked about the denial to the DoubleTree and approval of Hotel Santa Rita, MDC Executive Director Sarah Harris said it was evaluated strictly on its own basis. That factors considered were legality of funding, what the request was, as well as proportion of owner contribution compared to what was being requested from the embassy. She also went on to talk about the hopeful transformational potential for downtown. This is not the first time MDC has defended its $45 million support. Another vocal supporter of the Hotel Santa Rita has been the Chamber of Commerce. The Reporter-Telegram talked to President and CEO Evan Thomas about the need for the new hotel. He spoke to the possible tourism and expansion of Midland. When asked if the Chamber verbally supported the renovations to the DoubleTree, Thomas said no. When asked why not, he said he didn't think the Chamber's opinions on the hotel didn't have a large play with city leaders. He added that the DoubleTree will still be a major hotel downtown. There's going to be a blending of people using the hotels. He said more rooms could bring multi-day conferences with hundreds of people to the city. Community members in the downtown area had differing opinions, some positive and some negative. Chloe Rivera, a micro-market employee, said, "I'm happy downtown will have more people, but this many hotels in one area is kind of crazy." Although she said she was not entirely informed on the taxpayer aspect of the hotel, she said, "I don't want my taxes to change just for this hotel. I think there are better things the city could use our money for." Four Dolls boutique owner Alyssa Norton had differing opinions. She said, "I'm super excited downtown is getting a facelift. It's going to bring a lot more traffic and give that big city feel. I think it's going to help give Midland a name." When asked about how she felt on MDC's $45 million contribution, she chose not to comment. Cindy Lopez, owner of Maine Republic Salon, said, "I love the idea of the hotel. I have clients that travel out of town, so it's nice that there's going to be a nice hotel for them to stay at. We want things like the Marriott in Odessa here in Midland. It'll be good for the city overall." She had no comments on the tax aspect. Many downtown customers, both walking and in stores, declined to comment, stating they didn't want to be part of the political issue. The hotel's finishing date is proposed for late 2026, early 2027. Pink Party postponed. LGBTQ+ event faced pushback from protesters, by Ben Schaefer and B.K. Richter. Protesters against a local LGBTQ event titled Pink Party felt a victory recently after the event was canceled, citing that they prayed hard to God for the postponement. Citizens Defending Freedom, an organization whose website states is on a mission to empower and equip American citizens to defend their liberty at the local level, sent the Reporter-Telegram screenshots of social media advertisements for an event titled Pink Party, which was sponsored by Basin Pride and scheduled to take place at I Love My Selfie, an event venue. Screenshots from January 18th of a ticketing page show the Pride Center website advertising tickets with a description of the event. "Come take a trip with us to Barbie's Dream House. All ages are welcome to come celebrate local queer talent in the most pinkish fashion possible. So grab your popcorn and soda and we'll see you there." Poster advertisements for the event advertise the appearance of three drag performers. Shannon Langing, a Midland mother, said she was pretty shocked to hear about the event being advertised to all ages. She said many Midlanders heard about the event and made calls to the city asking if the event could be an adults-only event. The city was unable to change the event. On Saturday, the day of the event, it was postponed. Basin Pride's Facebook post for the event said the event was postponed due to safety concerns. A joint statement from Basin Pride with its parent organization, Pride Center West Texas, and partner agencies PFLAG Midland Odessa and Out in West Texas was distributed on Wednesday and emailed directly to the Reporter Telegram. Since 2019, Basin Pride has proudly hosted a family-friendly festival with supportive entertainment for attendees of all ages in Midland, Odessa. That entertainment has always included live drag performances appropriate for families, Basin Pride wrote in a statement on Wednesday. Basin Pride contends that their January 20th event was a fundraiser where attendees could enjoy a friendly, G-rated Barbie's Dreamhouse-inspired venue. Queer art, like live drag performances, is one of the few tools that remain under the law that gives Texas families a fighting chance at preserving important family values, such as celebrating diversity, embracing creativity, protecting the freedoms of others, and loving oneself and others unconditionally, Basin Pride wrote. Additionally, Basin Pride contends that the decision to postpone Basin Pride's event was not made by the organization, but rather by the landlord of the event venue. Some wanted to have a peaceful protest, while others were more menacing and targeted, instigating potential violence, Basin Pride posted in their statement. Considering that Texas reports the highest LGBTQ teen suicide rates in the USA, 43% of LGBTQN youth considered suicide in 2023, West Texas conservative and religious extremists harmed countless children and threatened the lives of the most vulnerable youth in our communities when their concerted, bigoted, and homophobic, transphobic actions led to the postponement over the weekend of Basin Pride's Pink Party event. Basin Pride did commend the Midland Police Department for their timely security and support as they faced the escalation of threats within a short period. We also want to acknowledge those who supported Basin Pride and defended the LGBTQN community for those who had conversations with the Midland Mayor, council members, Sheriff Kreiner, and other businesses, Basin Pride wrote in their press statement. Meanwhile, Lanning said she and other Midlanders originally organized a prayer ceremony prior to the event at Spain Chiropractic two doors down. But after the event was postponed, the prayer ceremony technically was also canceled, according to Lanning. But some Midlanders still showed up for the ceremony. She said their intentions were peaceful had the event taken place. As a response to the things that were going to happen in that event space, in a very childlike way to all ages, we thought, hey, we're going to meet together and we're going to pray over this. We're going to pray that no children enter the space because children should not be exposed to that. I believe very, very firmly that we should be protecting the innocence of our children instead of exposing them and coercing them into the lust and desire of adults, Lanning added. One Midlander that attended the prayer ceremony was Andrew Blake, who said the prayer ceremony was to thank God for the postponement of an event that would have allowed drag performers to perform around children, saying adults can participate in the event if they choose to, but it would not have been appropriate for all ages. Basin Pride said that their organization will continue to carry out their mission to provide safe and celebratory LGBTQ spaces, to serve the community by holding monthly socials, directing attendees to life-saving resources through our local affiliates, and preparing for our sixth annual Basin Pride Festival, wrote Basin Pride. Downtown parking enforcement by police, city, by B.K. Richter. The Midland Police Department and the City of Midland issued a reminder to residents that downtown parking enforcement measures are taking place within the city. According to a city press release, those efforts include citing and possible towing of vehicles that do the following. Park in the continuous left turn lane. Park outside painted parking spaces where the curb is painted yellow. City officials also warn residents that the following vehicles are subject to a citation and tow. Vehicles parked in the signed and painted freight zones without a freight zone permit. These zones are marked by white curb paint and posted signage indicating a tow-away zone. Vehicles parked illegally in handicapped parking locations. Additionally, residents or businesses needing an application for a freight loading zone permit can obtain one from the Midland Police Department. Obituaries and death notices. Donald Wayne Dawkins. Donald Wayne Dawkins, 77, of Midland, Texas, passed away on January 22, 2024, after a lengthy illness. A graveside service will be held on Saturday, January 27, 2024, at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Don was born November 17, 1946, in Midland, Texas, to Vern and Lily Mae Dawkins. He is preceded in death by his parents and survived by his sister, Jean Dawkins Page, one son, Michael Dawkins, two daughters, Tracy Sparks and Sherry Gilbert, seven grandchildren, and five great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Lewy Body Dementia Association or the charity of your choice. Glenda Ann Sparks. Glenda Ann Sparks of Midland, Texas, passed away January 22, 2024, following a brief illness. She was born December 30, 1956, in Midland, Texas, to James Wesley Sparks, Jim, and Nancy Keeling Sparks. A graveside service will take place at 1 o'clock p.m. Saturday, January 27, 2024, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Glenda is survived by brothers James Michael Sparks and David Allen Sparks, one nephew, two nieces, one great-niece, and her two dogs. In lieu of flowers, please donate to Midland Animal Shelter, 1200 Fairgrounds Road, Midland, Texas, 79706. Funeral services are under the direction of Nally Pickle & Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. John Hohenberger. John Frederick Hohenberger, 85, of Midland, passed away on January 13, 2024, at his home. He was born on July 1, 1938, in Honey Grove, Texas, to Walter and Gwendolyn Hohenberger. He is preceded in death by his parents, his wife Elizabeth, a daughter Deanna Hohenberger, two brothers Joe Hohenberger, L.W. Hohenberger, and one sister, Joyce Bowler. He is survived by his daughters, Juanita Richards and Melinda Williams, five grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. Vicki Bryant. Vicki Bryant, 73 years old, of Dover, Arkansas, passed away on Monday, January 22, 2024. The family will receive guests from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday, January 28, 2024, at Nally Pickle & Welch Funeral Home. Graveside services will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, January 29, 2024, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Vicki was born on January 13, 1951, in Abilene, Texas, to Raymond and Lori Joyner. She is survived by two daughters, Lorena Whitby and Tanya Wilder, four grandchildren, six great-grandchildren. She's also survived by brother Claudasa Ray Pete Joyner. Vicki is preceded in death by her parents, Raymond and Lori Joyner, grandparents Nathan and Annie Mae Joyner, and Lester and Maddie Fulfer. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Douglas Harwood. Douglas Harwood, 59, of Midland, passed away January 22, 2024. There is no service planned. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Tracy Lee Parks. Tracy Lee Parks, 41, passed away on Tuesday, January 23, 2024. Viewing will be Friday, January 26, 2024, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A graveside service will follow at 3 p.m. at Serenity Memorial Gardens.
Texas could swap land in Boca Chica State Park with SpaceX, by guest contributor, January 25, 2024, by Emily Foxhall, The Texas Tribune. Texas Parks and Wildlife Commissioners are considering a land swap with SpaceX that would give Elon Musk's space exploration company about 43 acres from Boca Chica State Park in exchange for the land in Texas's southernmost strip along the Gulf Coast. SpaceX would transfer 477 acres nearby that would be used for hiking, camping, and birding. Boca Chica is a cherished place where people fish, see wildlife, and hang out on the beach. The park measures about 1,060 acres in all. Parks and Wildlife staff recommend the exchange because they view it as a way for the agency to increase public access and protect grasslands and wetlands. In a statement Wednesday, the agency said the trade could provide mutual benefits. These conversations continue more than a decade of cooperative work with SpaceX to carry out our respective missions as neighbors, the TPWD statement said. A vote on the proposal is expected March 28 during a meeting Wednesday. Commission Chair Jeffrey Hildebrand indicated his support. The land exchange is an extremely valuable opportunity to the department, the state of Texas, to provide more recreational opportunities to the public. Hildebrand said, "I am committed to moving this process forward and completing the transaction." While the sheer difference in land size makes the trade seem like a good deal for the state, environmental groups and community members urged caution. The Cameron County judge opposed the swap. The tribal chair of the Estokanah Tribal Nation of Texas said such a trade would compound a history of his community being erased or ignored. "It doesn't make any sense at all for them to do what they're doing in transferring that land," said Juan Mancias, the tribal chair. "None at all." Cyrus Reed, Conversation Director for the Lone Star Chapter of the Sierra Club, said people need time to be informed and consider whether they are willing to lose a portion of what has been an important family-friendly resource. The commission was originally scheduled to vote on the deal Thursday. "Overall, there may be some benefits to it," Reed said. "The question is it benefiting the community that has traditionally gone to the Boca Chica area?" Wildlife advocates and residents over the past decade have expressed concerns about SpaceX's decision to build its launch area near protective state and federal land in South Texas. They worried about potential harm to endangered and threatened species such as ocelots, piping plover birds, and Kemp's Ridley sea turtles. Emma Guevara, who grew up in Brownsville and is now a field organizer for the Sierra Club, said SpaceX changed the community. "A company people hope would bring good jobs instead brought contract and custodial work for them and higher paying work for outsiders who moved in," she said. The company closes the road to the beach. A launch last year sent dust falling from the sky. "It's a little sneaky because it seems good because it is so much more land being traded," Guevara said. "But the land that's being traded is incredibly important to the community, so there's a lot of community opposition to this. There's a lot of community opposition to SpaceX in general." SpaceX did not respond to an emailed request for comment. A coalition of groups concerned about environmental harm sued the Federal Aviation Administration last year, alleging that the government did not do enough to protect against or mitigate significant environmental harm. "It's a race to the bottom," said Peter Galvin, co-founder of the Center for Biological Diversity, a plaintiff in the lawsuit. "First, you know, they put this thing smack dab in the middle of a state park and national wildlife refuge, and now they want to take a chunk out of the state park? I mean, what's next?" The Texas Tribune is a member-supported nonpartisan newsroom informing and engaging Texans on state politics and policy. Learn more at texastribune.org. Texas A&M Forest Service helps strengthen Texas landscapes with prescribed fire grants. By Odessa American, January 25, 2024. College Station, Texas A&M Forest Service awarded 126 recipients grants to conduct prescribed burns this year. for the 2024 fiscal year, the agency has approved more than $705,000 in grant funds to private landowners in Texas, with a goal to treat 25,104 acres, a Thursday news release said. With Texas lands being 95% privately owned, the responsibility of conservation lies with thousands across the state. Through prescribed fire grant programs, Texas A&M Forest Service strengthens the conservation network by providing resources and funding assistance to landowners and land managers to conduct prescribed fires. Prescribed fire is a strategic land management tool that uses low-intensity fire on a specific area of land to achieve set goals. Prescribed fire is proven to be the most effective and efficient land management tool for decreasing the risk of catastrophic wildfires by reducing hazardous fuels, the release said. If forest and land are left unmanaged, the buildup of leaves, twigs, and underbrush significantly increases the chances of larger, more uncontrolled wildfires in that area, said Andy McCray, Texas A&M Forest Service Program Coordinator, in the release. That is why it is top priority of ours to connect Texas landowners and managers with grant dollars and agency resources. Through our efforts with this program, more Texas land can be safely and effectively treated with prescribed fire. While community protection is viewed by many as the most significant benefactor of prescribed fire, other facets of Texas's ecosystem benefit as well. Prescribed fires help create resilient landscapes and encourage the growth of native species, improve soil health, create open forest conditions that allow wildlife to travel and forage more easily, minimize the spread of pests, insects, invasive species, and diseases, and give firefighters a safe place to work when wildfires occur. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for January 25, 2024. Texas Roadhouse and Bubba's 33 fundraiser benefits American Tinnitus Association. On Monday, February 5th, Texas Roadhouse and Bubba's 33 locations in Odessa and Midland invite the public to a fundraiser to support the American Tinnitus Association, ATA. To honor the company's late founder, Kent Taylor, the restaurants will donate 100% of all profits on February 5th to the organization, a news release said. More than 26 million adults in the United States battle tinnitus. While commonly referred to as ringing in the ears, tinnitus can manifest many different perceptions of sound, including buzzing, hissing, whistling, swishing, and clicking. Tinnitus is the perception of sound when no actual external noise is present. In addition to the restaurant fundraiser, through March 31st, Texas Roadhouse and Bubba's 33 will donate 10% from the online sales of all gift cards to the American Tinnitus Association. As we pursue our mission to promote relief, prevention, and find cures for tinnitus, we are grateful for the ongoing support of Texas Roadhouse. Sarah K. Downs, ATA Interim Executive Director, said in the release, "By supporting ATA, Texas Roadhouse and our family of employees honor the life and vision of our founder, Kent Taylor, who was passionate about helping others," Texas Roadhouse CEO and President Jerry Morgan said in the release. "The Texas Roadhouse ATA partnership is driven by the heartfelt desire to ensure that everyone is aware of tinnitus, its prevention, and what can be done to manage it."
Fluger joins bicameral call for Biden administration to withdraw EV mandate. U.S. Representative August Fluger, Republican, Texas, on Wednesday, joined U.S. Senators Mike Crapo, Republican, Idaho, Ted Cruz, Republican, Texas, and U.S. Representative Tim Walberg, Republican, Michigan, along with a bicameral group of 121 lawmakers, in sending a letter to U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, Deputy Administrator Sophie Schulman, calling for the withdrawal of the Biden administration's proposed corporate average fuel economy CAF standards for passenger cars and light-duty trucks. The proposed standards, which would require automakers to more than double the average fleet-wide fuel economy in less than 10 years, do not comply with federal law and would effectively mandate the mass production of electric vehicles, EVs, and phase out gas-powered cars and trucks. The federal government does not have the right to dictate that type of vehicle Texans can drive or cannot drive, Fluger said in a news release. "I speak for rural America when I say President Biden does not know the first thing about our vehicle needs. This effort to take away gas-powered cars and trucks will not be tolerated. In the letter, the lawmakers state, "We write to express our deep concern for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's proposed corporate average fuel economy, CAF, standards for passenger cars and light trucks, which represent yet another attempt by this administration to use the rulemaking process to impose its climate agenda on American families. The proposal, issued in July, is mere virtue signaling for this administration's extreme climate agenda. But it would have actually only limited impact on emissions while strengthening foreign adversaries and harming American workers and consumers," the lawmaker concluded. "We strongly urge NHTSA to drop its attempt at central planning and instead put forth a workable proposal that complies with the law and better serves the American people." Borderlands Research Institute. Visit Alpine, team up for first ever Wildlife Day. Wildlife Day and Alpine, a brand new partnership between the Borderlands Research Institute at Sol Ross University and Visit Alpine is scheduled for Saturday, February 3rd. Wildlife Day in Alpine is an opportunity to celebrate and learn about the creatures with whom we share the beautiful desert mountain landscape of the Big Bend region with a full day of free activities starting at 9 a.m., a news release said. A guided hike on Hancock Hill and a guided birding excursion near Alpine Creek at Coconut Lodge and Park are reservation only and have limited space available. At noon, learn about current wildlife research projects at BRI Lunch and Learn event in the lobby of the historic Holland Hotel. In the afternoon, several downtown Alpine shops will offer wildlife-themed events and specials, including Front Street Books, in-person wildlife cartooning and comic book signing, Gallery on the Square, wildlife conservation art, Javelina on Holland, music, wildlife t-shirts, plushies, and more. Wasserman's, visit Carl the Camel. In the evening, the Granada Theater will host a special screening of Deep in the Heart, a visually stunning documentary narrated by Matthew McConaughey, celebrating Texas's wildlife diversity and natural landscapes. The film will be followed by a wildlife panel discussion with BRI experts on several subjects, including the current status of black bear populations in the Trans-Pecos and beyond. For more information, go to www.visitalpinetx.com/wildlifeday. After Fuentes scandal, Texas billionaires fund new PAC to support conservative candidates. Texas's most prolific far-right donors have reloaded in the wake of scandal, and with a bruising primary on the horizon. A campaign finance report posted Wednesday showed that West Texas oil billionaires Mike Dunn and Ferris Wilkes will pour $2 million into a new group, Texans United for a Conservative Majority, that has started spending against Texas House Republicans. The group is a spinoff of Defend Texas Liberty, the political action committee that came under fire in October after the Texas Tribune reported that its then-president, Jonathan Strickland, hosted notorious white supremacist and Adolf Hitler admirer Nick Fuentes for nearly 7 hours. Defend Texas Liberty, which has vowed to go after House Republicans who voted to impeach Attorney General Ken Paxton, curtailed its political giving after the scandal, disclosing only one candidate contributed through December 31st. but Texans United for a Conservative majority popped up in December and had a reporting deadline on Tuesday. Because it is involved in a special election next week, it filed the report a day late. Its report, as well as another report it filed late, showed its only donors through Saturday were a firm tied to Dunn called Hexagon Partners and Wilkes. The firm gave $700,000, while Wilkes gave $1.3 million. The PAC reported over $400,000 in candidate contributions, mostly to primary challengers, from January 1st through January 20th. The biggest recipients at $100,000 each were David Covey, who is running against House Speaker Dade Phelan, Republican Beaumont, and Andy Hopper, who is taking on Republican Representative Lynn Stuckey, Republican Denton. Phelan is a top target of the PAC after overseeing Paxton's impeachment, and Stuckey is in a rematch against Hopper after defeating him by a razor-thin margin last primary. The report marks the first time that almost all the candidate donations stemming from the beginning of January were disclosed. Texans United for a Conservative majority was required to file the report because it is working in the January 30th special election runoff to replace former Representative Brian Slayton, Republican Royce City, who was expelled for providing alcohol to an intern and having sex with her. The PAC is supporting Brent Money over Jill Dutton in the intra-party battle. The Fuente scandal drew fierce denunciations from Phelan and his allies. The firestorm only grew in the following weeks as the Tribune uncovered other links between Defend Texas Liberty and avowed anti-Semites or racists, and some questions whether Dunn and Wilkes would recede from the political scene amid the unwelcome attention to their political activities. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said he spoke with Dunn at the time, and Dunn told him unequivocally that it was a serious blunder for PAC President Jonathan Strickland to meet with white supremacist Nick Fuentes. Patrick has gotten $3 million in campaign funding from Defend Texas Liberty as he was preparing to preside over Paxton's impeachment trial last year. Amid the fallout from Fuentes' scandal, Patrick announced he was putting $6 million of his campaign funds into Israeli bonds. MC Pre-K MISD celebrate Community Helpers Day. Midland College Pre-K Academy organized its first ever Community Helper Day from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. January 25th at the Pre-K Building, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland. The event is aimed at fostering meaningful interactions between the Academy's young learners and essential community figures, offering a hands-on learning experience, a news release said. Some guests will be in the parking lot, and others will be housed in the pre-K building. School officials will be available for interviews. Event leader Leslie Goodrum, Executive Director, Early Childhood Education for Midland College, invited special guests from various professions, including police officers, EMTs, firefighters, bakers, news reporters, nurses, bus drivers, tractor operators, and grocers. By bringing together community members and young minds, the Academy aims to instill a sense of appreciation for the diverse roles that contribute to the well-being of our community. We are thankful for the volunteers who donated their time to our students, Goodrum said in a news release. Andrea Mezick, MISD Executive Director of Teaching and Learning, said in the release, Community Helpers Day is a special day for our students. In the exciting and engaging world of early education, the thrill of community helpers visiting pre-K classrooms is like sprinkling magic dust on the minds of our youngest learners, igniting sparks of curiosity that illuminate the path of lifelong learning. Midland ISD is grateful for the amazing opportunities that Midland College Pre-K Academy continues to provide for our students, she added in the release. City designates where most ARPA funds will go. The Odessa City Council came up with a tentative plan Tuesday night on how to spend roughly $8 million in American Rescue Plan Act money by December 2026. Odessa Fire Rescue and Odessa Police Department will receive a significant amount of the funds if the council moves forward with its plan during its February 13th meeting. The council has opted to spend $1.6 million on a new computer-aided dispatch system, noting the current system goes down frequently. They also plan to purchase new Striker cots and power loads for 8 new ambulances that will arrive in September and next spring, $600,000 hydraulic rescue tools, $315,000 a replacement tender truck, $600,000 and a wildlife brush truck, $275,000. The council has set aside $208,000 to upgrade OPD's public restrooms, $113,000 to upgrade the agency's elevators, and $277,000 to demolish the parking lot at 201 North Grant. However, the city is looking into the possibility of finding the money for the elevators and demo elsewhere. Also topping the city's list of purchases are new lights and safety rails at the Darrington Wastewater Treatment Plant, upgrades to the plant's cranes, new fencing, and grid removal system. The council bemoaned the fact that they weren't able to tackle many of the city's road issues. It set aside $1.6 million for a Dixie Boulevard project that will run from 46th Street to Walnut Avenue. The city has until the end of the year to obligate the ARPA funds and until December 31, 2026 to spend it. The council unanimously voted November 26 to deallocate roughly $6.4 million of the $10.1 million it received in ARP funds, with council members stating they'd rather spend the money on infrastructure needs rather than on things like COVID testing, vaccinations, lost revenue, personal protective equipment, and other services. In other matters, the council approved three sets of infrastructure and facade grants pitched by the Odessa Development Corporation. Scooter's Coffee, which will open in early March on 801 North Grant Avenue, will receive a $125,000 infrastructure grant and a $25,000 facade grant. Prodigy Imaging will receive a $25,000 facade grant for its property at 406 North Texas. E&L House Builders will receive roughly $133,000 for an infrastructure grant and a $25,000 facade grant. The company is turning the old Jim's Big and Tall store, 423 North Grant Avenue, into a restaurant. OPD seizes 111 grams of cocaine. An Odessa man was arrested Tuesday afternoon after police said they discovered more than 111 grams of cocaine in his vehicle following a traffic stop. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer pulled Jesse Munoz over after he failed to stop at a proper place on West 59th Street and Golder Avenue and failed to use his turn signal. A drug-detecting canine officer alerted to Munoz's Chevrolet Suburban, and during a subsequent search, officers found the cocaine under the center console cup holders. The report stated, Munoz was arrested on suspicion of the first-degree felony charge of manufacture delivery of a controlled substance. He remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on a $50,000 surety bond.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permy and Proud for January 24th, 2024 by staff report, Valentine's Day to mark milestone for Odessa Mom's Young Business. An Odessa mom who started a business out of her hobby will celebrate 1 year since she sold her first item on Valentine's Day. Caitlin Nabarrete's brand, Made by Caitlin,
was highlighted on the City of Odessa's Facebook page just in time for Valentine's Day 2024. Having learned to crochet at a young age from her mom, Nabarete said, she made herself a Triceratops in 2022 and knew I could start a business out of it. After selling her first item on Valentine's Day in 2023, she started doing markets. The support I get from the community is amazing, she said. Nabarete says her son Jackson largely inspired her decision to start Made by Caitlin, as the business enables her to earn an income and still be available to support him in school. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. West Texas Symphony to showcase trumpeter in 2024 season opener, January 24, 2024, by Kathy Chateau. Ben Fairfield, West Texas Symphony's co-principal trumpet, is helping set the orchestra's 2024 performances alight with WTS Spotlight, Saturday, February 3rd, 7:30 p.m. at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center in Midland. Fairfield and Lone Star Brass members will join the West Texas Symphony Orchestra's performance of Trumpet Concerto by Franz Joseph Haydn, recently featured on Netflix's hit show Squid Game. Other engaging works featured by the orchestra that night will include Florence Price's Andante Moderato, Mozart's Overture to the Marriage of Figaro, and Franz Schubert's Symphony No. 5. Fairfield, aside from playing for the symphony, also performs as principal trumpet for the Abilene Philharmonic and is the artistic director of the West Texas Symphonic Brass. He is in demand as a guest member of trumpet sections throughout the United States. Tickets to the first of the year performance range from $12 to $60 and can be purchased via phone at 1-800-514-3849 or through the Wagner Noel box office. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center is located at 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. 39th Annual Shrimp Fest set for Ector County Coliseum, January 23, 2024, by staff report. Nothing is small about Shrimp Fest. For the 39th year, the Ellen Noel Art Museum of the Permian Basin, ENAM, is hosting its largest annual fundraiser with over 1,200 expected attendees at the Ector Coliseum Building G on Monday, February 26th. General entry begins at 7 p.m. and sponsorship tables are available. Guests get unlimited Cajun shrimp and opportunities to bid on a variety of unique items during silent and live auctions. Auction prizes include vacations, hunting trips, beauty products, and jewelry, as well as pieces made by local artists. General admission tickets are $50 in advance and $55 at the door. They include entry to the event, unlimited shrimp, and a drink. Also big about Shrimp Fest is its impact. As a nonprofit, ENAM relies on fundraisers like Shrimp Fest to help supplement the funding it receives through donations, memberships, and grants. All profits from this event will sustain museum programs like Art to Go for second graders, free community art days with activities for all ages, and Fine Arts Connection third grade field trips. It also allows the museum to bring in exhibitions like gastronomy to the public at no cost. Gastronomy is currently on display through March 10th. Profits from Shrimp Fest also help the museum to expand, develop, and diversify its programs to better meet the needs of our growing community, museum officials said. For more information, call 432-550-9696, extension 210, or visit www.noelartmuseum.org/fundraisers. The Ellen Noel Art Museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 5 p.m., Thursdays, noon to 8 p.m., and Sundays, noon to 5 p.m. Admission is always free. For more information on exhibits and events, visit noelartmuseum.org or call 432-550-9696 or stop by 4919 East University Boulevard in Odessa. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. The Stragglers celebrate 10 years at UTPB, January 22, 2024, by staff report. A prominent sculpture in front of the University of Texas Permian Basin will turn 10 years old this year. The Stragglers, a 70-foot-long, 13-foot-tall bronze statue of a cowboy and five steers posted at Parkway and 42nd Street in Odessa, was unveiled the summer of 2014 according to the recent report by UTPB Athletics Communications Specialist Brandon Moore. Terrell O'Brien of Fort Davis sculpted the $400,000 artwork. It was commissioned by Odessa Arts and funded by philanthropy and a gift from the city of Odessa, Moore said. The Stragglers tells the story of the beginning of the cattle industry in Texas, as well as the life of the cowboy, he said. Moore reflected upon the Stragglers as part of UTPB's ongoing 50th anniversary celebration. Find this story and audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream. Groundbreaking ceremony set for Reeves County 4-H Building, January 22, 2024, by Mike Aldex. A groundbreaking ceremony will be held for the Reeves County 4-H Building on Monday, January 29, 2024, at 4:30 p.m. The event is open to the public and will take place at the site at the future Reeves County 4-H Building site at 10 County Road 118, just east of Martinez Field. The new 4,379 square feet facility will house the operations of Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. The Extension Service is described as a unique education agency with a statewide network of professional educators, trained volunteers, and county offices. It is tasked with delivering innovative science-based solutions and education at the intersection of health, agriculture, and environment in communities. This advanced facility will offer practical learning opportunities to address social issues while maintaining its core values of honesty, leadership, heritage, politeness, excellence, and assistance, county officials said. The project is being paid for by Reeves County allocation of COVID American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, funding. Grant Works and the county collaborated in the implementation of this project, officials said. Find this story and audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, January 20th, 2024. Religion. Stanglin brings radio expertise to ministry. Church Emphasizing Service in 2024 by Bob Campbell. Midland. Alan Stanglin doesn't regret spending 15 years in sports radio before making his transition to the ministry because it was good preparation. Minister of Golf Course Road Church of Christ for 2.5 years, Stanglin had hit it big in the radio business as sports director at KRLD in Dallas, which controlled the Texas Rangers broadcast rights and covered the Dallas Cowboys home games. I learned how to write, and it prepared me for being in front of a crowd, he said. Working in the news, you have to do your homework and make sure your facts are straight. I like to concentrate not so much on what we're doing, but on what God is doing. I remind people that we were saved to be partners with him. There is forgiving and reconciling to be done, and there are barriers to be broken down. Stanglin took a degree in mass media at Oklahoma Christian University in Edmond, and later graduated from the Austin Graduate School of Theology in Austin, and he came to Midland after 10 years at Central Church of Christ in Amarillo. He and his wife Carrie Ann have 3 children. Stanglin's 3500 West Golf Course Road Church averages 500 people at its 10:15 a.m. Sunday services. For the new year, it's emphasizing support of the Family Promise program to provide food and shelter and help families in transition. And it is asking its members to volunteer for 2 hours each month in that and other forms of service. Stanglin's favorite scripture is John 16:33, where Jesus' last words to his disciples before he was crucified were, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We should have a sense of astonishment and amazement that our sins have been forgiven, Stanglin said. It's a miracle. We don't have to fight anything, and we don't have to win anything. It has been taken care of. I like the assurance of that. Downtown Church of Christ minister Greg Fleming, whose Midland Church started Golf Course Road in 1963, said Stanglin is a man in keeping with Jesus' command in Luke 10:27, to love God and your neighbor. I see that play out in Alan's ministry, in his connections with other ministers in our community, and his readiness to share the good news of Jesus in word and action with everyone he meets, Fleming said. We had a friend in common, Kim Scott, whom I first met when we were students at Lubbock Christian University, and who was a member of the congregation that Alan ministered in Amarillo. When Kim passed away last year, Alan's words at his funeral service blessed me greatly. It is my pleasure and privilege to count him as a friend. Chapter 31 and 2024 by Reverend Giancarlo Villatoro, founding pastor of Victory Church, Odessa. You might wonder about 2024 and what will happen. The following scriptures come from chapter 31 of the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The context in Jeremiah 31: the kingdom of Israel has been divided like our country is divided. Somehow you are divided too. Part of you wants to do good, part of you does not. Let me share with you some applications of chapter 31 in your life today, particularly for the year 2024. The Lord God will save his people from those who are stronger. Chapter 31, verse 11b. This year, our Lord God will do some awesome things for his people. 2024 is a year of battles, and you must fight with faith and strength. I will be the God of all the tribes of Israel, and they will be my people. Chapter 31, verse 1b. All the people who are part of the Israel of God on earth will experience the feeling of belonging to God. The people who escaped the enemy's sword will find comfort in the desert. Israel will go there looking for rest. Chapter 31, verse 2b. Even those who did wrong things now find the troubles, desert, a place to reflect and regain trust in the Lord. From far away, the Lord will appear to his people. Chapter 31, verse 3a. The Lord says, I love you people with a love that continues forever. That is why I have continued showing you kindness. Chapter 31, verse 3b. They will come back crying, but I will lead them and comfort them. I will lead them by streams of water. I will lead them on an easy road where they will not stumble. Chapter 31, verse 9. You, as a true believer, an Israelite of God, have a tremendous opportunity this year to experience the power of our Almighty God, as long as you read the Bible daily, believe it with all your heart, and live accordingly with the principles of the Scripture. This is the promise of God for you. Their faces will shine with happiness about the good things the Lord gives them. He will give them grain, new wine, olive oil, young sheep, and cattle. They will be like a garden that has plenty of water, and the people of Israel will not be troubled anymore. Chapter 31, verse 12. My people will be filled and satisfied with the good things I give them. Verse 14b. You will be able to work hard and take care of your job or business and witness the greatness of the Lord and still learn to be satisfied in the Lord every single day of your life. I invite you to watch a message filmed for you about this particular topic. https://vimeo.com/myjohncarlo/year2024.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.